Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome back to another episode of Evangelize for Life with your host Stephen Glover. And it has been a couple of days, if not weeks, since I've had an opportunity to broadcast and to come to you with additional insights about how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, our glorious God and Savior, how to make him known in a world that denies that he exists and deny that he is the one true God. Well, of course, you know, the bottom line is, as in every episode, is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it comes from preaching the gospel and God making men alive who are dead in their trespasses and sins. And so our responsibility as believers is to go and to preach the gospel, and prayerfully God will save and draw individuals to themselves. But our responsibility again is to be the witness, to be the vessel that God uses. So I am excited and pleased that you are able to tune back into our program, and hopefully I haven't lost too many listeners. But I just thank God for an opportunity to come to you today and to describe and to look at God and him being immutable, meaning that he is unchanging, or God is he's consistent and faithful. And that is so very important when you think about evangelism, is that we want to serve a God that we can trust, and a God that will not change, a God that will remain consistent regarding the statements and the promises that he has said. So, before we get to our topic today, let's begin by opening up in a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for you being a God that is immutable, and that, Lord, because you never change, your promises are what we're able to stand upon, similar to a rock that you're also described as a rock, a foundation that best describes the fact that you are the same. And we thank you for your Son, whom you sent into the world, that also confirms that he is Yahweh, Jehovah. He is the I Am, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though, Lord, the heavens may give way and the earth or the mountains may fall into the sea, but Lord, you are unchanging, and I bless you and praise you. Thank you so very much. And I pray, God, for your spirit, your power, and your presence to be a part of our discussion today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now let's get into, before we get to some verses about God, let's get into and look at the fact that the immutability of God means that he never changes. And we just want to make that clear. This is one of his attributes, or his counsel. This is what we know about God, and what he wants us to know about him. So God, he never grows, he never evolves, he never improves. He is always perfect. He has always been perfect. Isn't it good to know that we serve a God that is unchanging and that is perfect and that his ways are always right. So he cannot diminish, nor does he deteriorate. He doesn't regress. If he did any of those things, he would no longer be God. He would no longer be perfect. He would no longer be unchanging. So whatever God is, he always has been, he always will be. And that is what we learn of him in Scripture. He always has been. He always will be. He is God, and he does not change his mind. He doesn't overrule one decree for another. He does not make a promise and then change his vow. He does not threaten and then not fulfill. And that's kind of comforting, I would say, when you think about the multitude of promises that we find in Scripture. Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. He talks about being saved and once sealed with the Holy Spirit. Or he said, I was going to send the Comforter. One thing you can rest assured of is that God has said it, he's going to bring it to pass. Just look at the prophecies that are written in the Bible. Because God has proclaimed these things that beginning at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the prototype of Christ, the Messiah, that he would send a Savior. And he did exactly as he said. Or he promised to Abraham in Genesis 12 that that he was going to give him a land, and he was going to multiply his seed, and he would be a father of many nations, and that's exactly what happened. Or even in the days of Noah, that he said that because of man's sin and his rebellion against God, that he was going to bring judgment, and he did. I mean, we can continue on regarding the promises and the fulfillment of those promises regarding what God has said about himself and about his creation in relationship to mankind, and he has brought those things to pass just as he said. Now, the thing is that it would be terrifying to know that this God could change his mind. He could suddenly become evil and suddenly change his mind. Just the thought of that is utterly terrifying. You know, to know that this God is consistent should bring comfort and peace to our hearts. The immutability of God is one of the most important attributes because it guarantees that he and his word will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's interesting that Jesus is described as the word, and actually he refers to himself and defined or described as being the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that we serve, the God of the Bible, he is the only consistent being in the universe, the only being as worthy of our absolute trust. Now, let's begin by looking at Genesis, or let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, because many of you are familiar with this verse. Moses is standing before the Lord, having removed his sandals in a sacred and holy place because he is in the presence of God. And God is commissioning Moses to be sent to proclaim the one true God. And understand that we too are commissioned by God to proclaim the one true God and to make known the unknown God to those who do not know him. Paul describes that in much detail in Acts chapter 17, where there were multitudes of gods that were being worshipped. But Paul describes the one true God, and that is what we see here in Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Because not only was he going to Pharaoh, but he was also going to the Jews who were in prison or in bondage or in slavery in Egypt. And so they cried out to Yahweh, Jehovah, to rescue them. And God raised up a man to send to rescue them from the bondage of slavery. Now, the name is derived of the Hebrew word, Haya, which means to be or to exist. And it points not only to God's his eternal nature and self-existence, but it also points to his immutability. meaning that to be or to exist, he not only always is, but always is the same. And that is so very important when we describe God or we share the gospel with someone, is to help them understand that this God never changes. Many people say, well, the Bible has been rewritten, and all these things about scripture is written by man, but understand that because it was written by God, it never changes. It's the same. Another thing we want to know is, if you turn to Deuteronomy 32, God is a rock. You know, the Bible describes him as a rock, and the reason being is that a rock is never changing. A rock stays the same. A rock is unshakable and immovable. And so here in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says, regarding God, he says, the rock, again describing God, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. So clearly, when God is described as a rock, we're talking about him being permanent, unchanging, similar to a stone and a rock in the mountains that are formed by them. So again, it's a comfort to know that this metaphor that is used to describe the Lord is it's inadequate in many ways, because it's given to us because we in our finite state cannot understand an infinite God, and so he has to describe himself in terminologies that we can comprehend. So when all the rocks of the earth have turned to dust, God will remain the same. And you know, the Bible even mentions in 2 Peter that this world will be recreated. The book of Revelation talks about the mountains splitting and much chaos and cataclysmic events will occur, and those same very mountains that once stood will be brought to naught. Even the Bible talks about the people staying for the rocks to cry out on them, or the temple that was once designed and built was one day was torn down. And so we see that rocks can be destroyed. They can be reduced to rubble, and they can be reduced to powder and to dust. But the one thing about God is that he's consistent, is that he never changes. He's immutable, and that is so very important in the area of evangelism. Now, let me give you a couple more verses that describe the immutability of God. What does it teach us about the understanding nature of God and his relationship to his creation? Now, listen to, we're going to go to Psalm 102, verse 25. Now, here is an example. The Bible says, of old thou dost found the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Even they will perish, but thou dost endure, and all of them will wear out like a garment. The Bible continues to say, like clothing, thou will change them, and they will be changed, but thou art the same, and they and thy years will not come to an end. So here's an example that there's a comparison and a contrast between creation and the earth that is made, but God remains the same. So things may change. I think about James, for example. Let me flip over to James chapter 1. That comes to mind, James chapter 1, you can turn there with me, that again talks about the immutability of God. James 1 verse 17, every good thing bestows and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, which whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So again, you know, even the moon rotates, or the sun gives off its light, and you know, the thing about this is that God never changes. You know, and Luke talks about the moving and the shifting of lights and shadows and everything, but God remains the same. So throughout Scripture, we see that God is never changing. Now, in the area of evangelism, These are the promises that we must bring to the people. These are the promises that we must bring to lost people. For example, why is that so very important? Well, the Lord says that whosoever will come to him, he will no wise cast them out. And all that the Father has given him, he shall lose none. And that's found in John chapter 6, for example. If you look at verse 37, and all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. And if you go on, continue on, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me, he says, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who believes or beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. So you see a multitude of promises here that Jesus is speaking, and he is saying that the Father has given to him, and we know that the Bible talks about predestination, the elect, the chosen, as a gift. The Father has given to him the souls of individuals, the souls of people, those who have come to him, those who believe in him. He says he shall no wise cast them out. They will forever be with him. As described in the book of John, that you shall forever be with the Lord. And so it's clear that he is talking about not only being born again, but also spending eternity with the Lord, because eternal life, he says, that they may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. So now he's even talking about on the resurrection of the church, the resurrection of the dead. So those who are in Christ will one day, their bodies will be resurrected, and they will be joined together with the Lord. The spirit will be joined together with their body, and they will forever be with the Lord. And that is a promise that God has given, and that is a promise that we communicate in sharing the gospel, that God will never lose anyone. And he promises that that no one, if you go to John chapter 10, and this is another promise that you give or you can communicate to people while sharing the gospel. He says that in John 10, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. So Jesus gives them eternal life. They shall now never perish, and they shall never be plucked out of his hand. So the scripture clearly teaches that nothing shall separate us from God. Clearly, we see once again that that Jesus loses none, and he gives life. He keeps them. He even spoke in John of the disciples that he kept them, and this is in John chapter 17. Well, this is the not the disciples' prayer, but this is actually the Lord's prayer, where Jesus is praying for us. He is praying that those who believe will have eternal life. And so he says to the disciples that he goes on to say, "And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that it may be one, even as we are one," that they may be one, even as we are one. He says, "While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name which thou hast given me, and I guard them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." So clearly he's talking about Judas, who did not believe, who betrayed Christ, and as a result is spending an eternity in damnation because he did not belong to Christ. But yet those who did, Jesus clearly taught that he lost none. Now that is so very important, because there is an eternal security, not like some teachings, false teachings that say you can lose your salvation. And when sharing the gospel, it's important to let people know that the purpose and the role of the Holy Spirit is to seal them until the day of redemption. That is the confirmation. That is the assurance. That is the reason why God sent the paraclete, one like himself, is to say to the individuals that I am sealing you, I am keeping you, you belong to me, I have bought you with a price. And so that is the confirmation that that Romans 8:16 talks about, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are his children. The Spirit of God who seals us confirms that we actually belong to him. Now, this is another promise that we have. And can you imagine a life where you are unsure whether the sin you committed would lead to, and if you were to die, would lead to your eternal damnation? And that is a fear tactic that is used today to keep people enslaved or under control. Is that there's always the fear that you may do something that will cause you to lose your salvation. But Jesus clearly has taught that nothing can separate me from him, and that no one can snatch me out of his hands. And that would include myself, not just human beings or other individuals or Satan or demons, but no one, nothing is capable of snatching me out of the hands of the Lord. Why? Because he is the one who is holding on to us. And let me turn to 1 Peter, since we are actually addressing this topic. Because 1 Peter describes he says, let me go to 1 Peter, that's in 2 Peter there. But dealing with that eternal security, he says, blessed be the God in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you all, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So guess who is doing the protecting? The power of God is the one. He is keeping us through his own power. Therefore, we cannot slip. We cannot lose. We cannot, it cannot be taken away regarding our salvation. And listen to this. And these are promises that, we must communicate when witnessing and sharing the gospel. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. This is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So the redemption, the righteousness, the sanctification all comes from God. And by his doing, it says, by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. So once again, these are our promises that must be taught, must be communicated regarding the immutability of God. If God has stated it, and if it's in his word, then we can rest assured that these things never change. I mean, not only are promises regarding eternal life, but promises regarding eternal damnation. Remember, he doesn't change. The wicked, he says, will not stand in his presence. And so because of sin, he has to judge sin, because sin violates his holiness. And because he is just, he has to hold every moral agent accountable. And so that is why God sent his only begotten Son. The righteousness that man needs to receive eternal life must come through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. And it's through the cross of Christ that man has the right to the tree of life. He has the right to eternal life, but you must come through the blood. You must receive the righteousness, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. One man, brought sin into the world and death, but through Jesus Christ did he not only bring righteousness, but life and peace. So it's so very important that as we understand God as being the I am, the rock, that he is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, understanding this, having considered the way the many scriptures that speak regarding the immutability of God and his nature, now we must consider some of the passages that speak of the immutability of his word. Not an easy word to say, immutability of his word and his counsel. And so we're going to look at some scriptures that teach us about his unchanging nature. What do these verses that we're going to look at teach us about God's relationship with his creation, for example? And so let's look at Psalm 33:11. Now, this is the reason why the word of God is so very important, because not only does God never change, but his word is infallible. And that is why we use it, refer to it, meditate on it, memorize it, because we need in difficult times to stand on the rock that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, you said that, Lord, when we call upon you, you will hear us and you will answer us and you will deliver us from all our fears. Or you said you will supply all our needs according to thy riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so these promises we must stand on. 33:11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. So here's an example that the word of God will stand forever. The counsel, meaning his word, the instructions, the precepts, the things that God has given us. So his counsel will stand forever in the plans of his heart from generation to generation. So the Pentateuch, the Torah, the Old Testament, the New Testament, these are counsels from God, and they have been passed on from generation to generation. And that is the reason why when you speak, and I had a conversation today with a guy who says that it was written by man, and my response was that man could not have known the things that are in Scripture that God has promised that would happen. And so proof that he is Yahweh, proof that he is the Alpha and the Omega, and he can see the beginning from the end, is that he said he would bring forth the Messiah. He did that. He said that that Messiah would be born of a virgin. Many things that Jesus, that God has said were fulfilled, just as God had revealed in his word, or he had promised. And so that was passed on from generation to generation. So men, women, and children look forward to the coming Messiah because of the fact that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he, and this is found in 1 Samuel, that he should change his mind, because God, again, doesn't change. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, refers to God. Verse 29, looks like we're out of time. We'll have to pick this up tomorrow. We'll actually look at some other attributes of God. We'll discuss some of the things concerning him being self-sufficient, God being not only unchanging, but that God being the creator, God being omnipresent, or him being faithful, or him being righteous, holy, some of the other attributes that we know from God. May God bless you and keep you, and may the Lord turn his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious towards you that you might be blessed.
never heard it.